Divorce is tough, but your finances don't have to be. I'm David Cross, and I'm a certified divorce financial analyst practitioner. My job is to help you get a fair financial settlement in your divorce and to guide you to smarter money decisions. Find out how we can help you. U.S. Asset Management, it's your money and your future.
נתניהו שאני מכבד אותו מאוד ושר החוץ שאני מכבד אותה מאוד רצו שאני אחלק למחבלים האלה לתומכי הטרור האלה סנדוויצ'ים להגיד להם כמה ישראל יפה אצלי זה נגמר אני לא פרייר באו אנשים תומכי טרור באו לפגוע בחיילי צהל באו לפגוע בלוחמים שלנו
למה עם מצלמות?
שאנחנו לא פריירים, שישראל לא נותנת את הלב.
אבל אז יגנו אותנו ויחרימו.
יגנו אותי, וואי, איי,
לא אותך, אותנו.
יגנו את מדינת, מעניין, לפני זה כנראה לא גינו את מדינת ישראל.
וזה משפיע על חיילי צה"ל, שעוצרים אותם בכניסה למדינות.
רק בגלל איתמר בן גביר מגנים את מדינת ישראל.
לא רק בגללך, אבל זה לא תורם.
יכול להיות שתקפו ב-48 גם בגללי, נו באמת.
לא, זה לא תורם לחיילי צה"ל, שבסופו של דבר מנסים להיכנס למדינות ועוצרים אותם.
אני מבקש ממך משהו אחד. תבואי לראות אותי עם חיילי צהל, את לא קולטת מה הולך. כל החיילים רצים אליי ואומרים לי, בן גביר, תודה שאתה שם בשבילנו. תודה שאתה נותן לנו גיבוי. תודה שאתה מחבק אותנו. תודה שאתה מעריך אותנו. תודה מה שעשית בבתי הכלא, לא יעזור לך, אני אספר. הורדתי את המרמלדות, את השוקולדות, את הבשר כבש, את הפינפונג, את הטלוויזיות, את הרדיו, את הטלוויזיה, את הקנטינה.
שאלה אחרונה לסיום, כי נגמר לנו הזמן.
מה, את לא רוצה לתת לי לדבר?
אנחנו שמענו על המרמלדות והשוקולדות והבולבוניירות והלחמניות ופיתות. שמענו,
באו,
לא אמרתי,
באו רזים, יצאו שמנים, היום הם באים שמנים, שמנים, יוצאים רזים, רזים, מחבלים ככה צריכים לצאת.
רגע, דיברנו...
belongs in NATO, because NATO with Ukraine is the alliance for the future. As I said, Europe needs its own effective anti-ballistic systems and missiles, and this work is already underway, and I urge all of you and all our partners to give it the attention it deserves, and this cannot wait until 2030 or beyond. Europe needs affordable, mass-produced anti-ballistic systems as soon as possible. In fact, we have today completely eliminated the very idea of Russia having a strategic rear. And you know this country, and for a long time, Russia believed it had a territorial advantage. No one else possessed a deep rear where it could safely keep military production, military equipment, and everything its war depends on, believing no one could reach them. And we have reached them. Just yesterday, Ukrainian drones broke through Russia's defenses and struck a Russian oil refinery in Siberia. And this is not an exception. It's the new reality. And there is no major oil refinery left in Russia that has not been struck by Ukraine.
Doesn't affect the United States. We have an ocean in between. But, you know, it's just, I can't stand watching what's happening. I've seen the pictures of those battlefields, and it's a drone war. It's a war of drones. It's a whole new technology. And we're actually the leader in drones now. We have the most sophisticated drones, but people wouldn't believe how violent it is. And I've seen the battlefields. They send me pictures. I actually want to say, don't send them to me. Pete, this man right here, sends me pictures. Pete Hegseth. And I said, Pete, you know what? There's enough to look. I've never seen anything like it. It's carnage. Something to help us. And they really weren't. In the case of the United Kingdom, the Prime Minister, I guess he's no longer there, maybe because of this. It was a very unpopular thing he did. He said, no, we'll help after the war is over. I said, I don't need that kind of help.
Can you clarify what you meant with your social media post yesterday with respect to Prime Minister Maloney, that true social post with the restraining order?
Oh, I don't know. I think she's a nice person, actually. We had a bad relationship, but it became a little bad because she refused to help us. Again, I didn't put a heavy press on her, but she refused to get involved with the Hormuz Strait. Or you could also say just Iran. She refused to get involved. So it soured my relationship with her a little bit. But I like her. I think she's a nice person, actually. But I think she made a mistake. You know, they get a lot of their oil from them. We don't get any of it. We have a lot. Because of the president, you know, we have a very good relationship with the new leader of Syria, and he's done an amazing job. In a year and a half, he's pulled the whole country together. And I have a very great relationship with him. And somebody said, well, he's pretty rough to put him there. I approved him along with the president. We were the two that really wanted him, and he's done a great job. He's done a great job. He's pulled it together. Putin, who, by the way, has a lot of respect for President Erdogan, a lot of respect for him. We had a long talk yesterday. It lasted a long time. And I also spoke with President Zelensky right after that. I think they both want to make a deal. It's too bad it took so long. But I think there's going to be, something's going to come out. And the president's also helping us with that. But I think there's something, you know, I settled eight wars, money and mind. And especially when it's been somebody that frankly has been more helpful to the United States than many other more traditional countries. I can tell you, we're going to be taking the sanctions off. Okay? I don't want him to waste his time answering that question because we're working very closely with Marco Rubio, very famous man. I know, you know, a lot of people don't agree, although I think with time they're starting to agree. Turkey has been a great ally for us. Turkey could have gone on the side. They know Iran very well, and they know the problems with Iran. But they've been very instrumental, along with a couple of other countries, of helping. They could have gotten into the fight. And I hear some people saying about their relationship with Israel. They could have gotten into the fight. They're a very powerful military nation. They didn't do that. Maybe they didn't do that because of me. But they could have gotten into the fight on the other side. They are a nation that's been very, very good.
Welcome back to the Skiff. You know, what we try to do here is make you the smartest person in the room. And we want to really try to advance that agenda today because there is so much going on and it's really hard and there's a lot of narrative creation. It's really hard to see through what is actually happening. And that's what we want to help you with today. And the question we want to ask is, who is the real boogeyman? And I think we've come to some conclusions here. And I want to connect the dots a little bit as we go through the show. I want to say hello to the crew in the chat. You're cleared hot. Thank you for all the engagement. Wow, it's been, yesterday was amazing. I mean, we had just a massive amount of content or comments in this chat. And we love that. Thank you very much. I want to say hello to whatfinger.com. Please check them out. Go there. They're a great aggregator site. They post a lot of our content. But we had also an explosion on X in the last week. We are adding hundreds a day to our X broadcast. We love that. Thank you very much. It's a great platform to watch stuff on. We're also on Getter, where we get thousands of views. We're also on multiple YouTube channels, including, Rumble channels like Caravan to Midnight, where they have an 8 million audience. And we're also, we do post the show on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed to us there, please do that. Even if you don't watch us there, we need to boost those numbers. We're back on Instagram, by the way, posting a lot of good short AI shorts on content that we like, that we want to put out. And we're going to continue doing that. Also sign up for our social media, CDM_press on X, please. That is highly important, along with our other channels, if you like specific papers. And we're also on CDM1 on Rumble. So much to go through today, but the question we want to answer today is, who is the real boogeyman? And we've got Promethean Action. We're going to talk to them. We've developed a good relationship with them. It's not a conversation with me, but I want to play some of an interview that I just found absolutely fascinating, and it's going to help answer a lot of these questions. You see, Ukraine wants to be part of NATO, and they want all our technology. That's important. Stay on this, because you need to connect the dots here. So let me just roll into that. Ukraine has, well, actually, let's do the mission brief. We'll come back to Ukraine and Trump. Today is July 8th, I believe. No, 7th. And I'm your host, L. Todd Wood. Here's your mission brief. Turkey rising, Erdogan and Trump bromance in Ankara, where the NATO summit is happening. We've got an article up on CDM.press on what's going on at the NATO summit. Flock safety cameras. Wow, this story is getting bigger and bigger by the day. We have a great story up on MiamiIndependent.com, our South Florida paper, talking about the scandal inside Miami-Dade County with Flock safety cameras. By the way, I'm told in Atlanta you have, it's literally CCP-style surveillance in Atlanta due to Flock safety now, because they are domiciled in Atlanta, an Atlanta company. Tanker attack in the Strait of Hormuz. The ceasefire takes a hit. The House is going to try to pass the SAVE Act again with some sneaky stuff with Speaker Johnson. We hope that works. We'll see. And the Democratic Socialists of America, communism is the goal. That's on the Connecticut Sentinel, ConnecticutSentinel.com. All right, we got a lot to go through. I'm going to take a break, come back, and we're going to go through a lot of this stuff, and then we're going to hear from Promethean Action. So stay with us. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Every day, your data is being tracked, collected, and sold, often without you even realizing it. Big tech companies control your devices, your apps, and the information you share. From your messages to your browsing habits, everything is being monitored and stored. Over time, we've traded privacy for convenience, and most people don't even question it. But what if you could take that control back? That's where Mark 37 comes in. Mark 37 provides privacy-focused phones, laptops, and tablets designed to give you full control over your digital life. With secure systems, expert support, and simple tools, they make it easier to step away from constant tracking and data collection. Because privacy isn't just a feature, it's a fundamental choice. It's about protecting your data, your freedom, and your future. Take back control of your digital life with Mark 37.
And by the way, I wanted to say I'm starting my journey with Sean. I'm going to be getting a Ghost phone and then upgrading to a Ghost computer soon, because I am going to unplug from the Matrix, and you can follow me along on my journey. So mark37.com/CDM is where you want to go to do that. Find the webinar, sign up for the webinar, and learn everything you need to know to get started. And then you can also sign up for a free 30-minute consultation on privacy there at mark37.com/CDM. But I'm looking forward to it, and I have been worried about privacy for some time. So I'm going to be taking the plunge and changing my life and unplugging from the Matrix, and I'm really looking forward to it. So maybe you can join me.
A warm welcome here at the National Press Club. Welcome to the journalists, welcome to the Embra team, and welcome to the other guests that we have here. I'm going to announce, and as some of you guessed it right when they came in, the first E2 order by an American operator. And that operator is a fellow. We believe this is really a strategic shift to unlock profitability for the customer. I'm very pleased that we have Andrew Levy here as the CEO of Avello, and I'm very pleased to give the stage to share a little bit more about what Avello is going to do with the E2-195. Thank you very much.
Couldn't be more excited to be here as part of this historic announcement. We have such a great cultural fit as companies, so we're very, very excited to be Embraer's newest customer. We launched our airline in April of 21, and our target is focusing on small secondary airports of large metro areas. We've carried over 8 million customers since we started on 63,000 flights, and we've done all these things with 1,200 of the greatest crew members I could ever imagine having, and many of them are here with me today. This is the right airplane for us. It's going to open up opportunities for us that no other aircraft can serve. The best thing about the airplane, of course, is you will not find a middle seat on this airplane. It doesn't exist. We won't have any to offer. It's going to be the best cabin in the United States, and we're so excited about that. This is going to elevate our experience to the highest level, and we think our customers are absolutely going to love the airplane.
Life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
Welcome back to the Skiff. A couple amendments to the advertising there. Avello Airlines, man, I'm flying Avello later in the week, and I absolutely love it. If you're in the Northeast, you really need to check this out, especially if you're in, you know, you're looking for an alternative to Connecticut, to New York. If you go to New Haven, Connecticut, and just walk up to Tweed Airport, you literally drive up, get out, go through the line. There's like 10 people in the line usually, and right through security, and you're in, and you fly, and it's just absolutely a fantastic experience. So I would highly recommend Avello Airlines. I mean, it's a little, it flies up and down the East Coast. They're expanding westward, but if you're in Atlanta or Savannah or down in Florida or, you know, North Carolina area, certain airports, they do have flights, but the hub is in New Haven, and that's where the magic happens. So if you're in that area, please check it out. Also, the mark37.com/CDM, they have a sale going on for the America's 250th right now. Hit up July 4 and July 4 with the number, all caps, July 4 for promo code at mark37.com, and you get 10% off. So there, it's time to get into the privacy. You know, I was reading, we're putting out an article later today, that if you're on a Google computer, it can, Google literally tracks everywhere you go on the web. And even if you use a VPN, they can find you and find your whole chat history or your whole browsing history. This came out, the FBI caught a hacker by getting, even though he was using a VPN, went to Google, and they found everything because they have some kind of ID, I don't know the whole story, on your computer. So privacy is a thing. It really, really, really is. And it's not something you should just give away for convenience. So try mark37.com/CDM. Don't forget the /CDM, mark37.com/CDM, and use July 4, all caps, and the number 4 for 10% off at that fantastic sponsor of ours. All right, who is the boogeyman? So we're going to play a video here in a bit with Susan Kinkinen at Promethean Action. And before we get into that, I want to talk about a few things. Ukraine, if you noticed, that they are building something in Ukraine. The whole Ukrainian agenda is becoming much clearer. One, they say they've literally destroyed and depopulated the Christian male population. This is a depopulation satanic ritual of mass murder in Ukraine. The war could have ended a long time ago. This war was engineered, and the purpose is to kill a lot of the Christian male population and destroy the family life. And I've seen that up close and personal with my Ukrainian friends, so nobody can tell me otherwise. And they want a 50% mercenary army in the middle of Europe. They're becoming the enforcers for Europe. I'm telling you, they've destroyed the European military. Look at the big picture. Now they want robotic army, and now they want all our technology to develop and make their own Patriot missiles and license them in country. Trump, you better not do this. They are not our ally. This is a dark, dark, dark thing that's happening in Ukraine, and it's tied to a much bigger agenda. And they want, of course, to be part of NATO. Why? Because they can attack Russia, and if Russia responds, they can use Article 5 to get us into the war. We don't want Ukraine in NATO. We don't want our technology or our men and women and money going to Ukraine anymore. This is the Fourth Reich Army. It's being built in front of your eyes. It's going to be a mercenary robotic army in the middle of Europe with a very dark purpose. So, and you'll find out later as we get into this next video with Susan Kinnan that it's, you know, the big force behind this has been obvious for a long time when Boris Johnson went to Ukraine to keep the war going when they had peace in 2022. And, you know, MI6 and the monarchy is behind Ukraine. That's obvious. Also behind Iran. Look at the big picture here. Connect the dots. Trump is very angry at Starmer, and he said it today. I didn't put that tape in the cold open, but he said, you know, Starmer's gone probably because of Iran. Why do you think Trump is so angry about people not supporting Iran? It's not just anger. It's shining a big fat spotlight on the agenda of what's happening globally with this globalist movement. And I firmly believe Trump is unraveling it. Another thing I want to talk about, and by the way, yes, Israel was created by the UK, and Susan will get into this, but and I'll save that for later. But if you look at this whole Mockingbird media, the Mockingbird media has shifted from CBS, ABC, New York Times, Washington Post. They're irrelevant now. It's shifted to the podcast world, and you are seeing the mock. I'm putting this article out later today, by the way. You are seeing the Mockingbird media across the podcaster world. They're all selling the same thing, from Tucker to Candace to all of them, Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones, all of them. It's all the same thing, all focused on Israel. And I'm not saying we're pro expansion in the Middle East with Israel. We're not. But what I'm saying is I notice patterns and I notice what's going on, and there's a power behind what is going on. They're saying, focus on this, don't focus on that. And it's massive and it's coordinated. And that is just obvious. So the other thing you see happening with Trump is a movement towards Turkey, the Gulf states, as a counterweight to a lot of this. The EU and the NATO have kept out, or not NATO, but the EU has kept Turkey out for a long time. They kept Turkey out from F-35s. And I'm not a pro-Islamist. I'm just saying this is what Trump is doing to counter this globalist infrastructure emanating out of the UK. And Susan will get into that. And also in Syria with al-Shara, again, I'm not a fan of him because I'm worried about the Christian community in Lebanon primarily, which will be there in Beirut soon, by the way, with the team. So if you, by the way, we have a big donation campaign going on right now. You can go to cdm.press, top menu. Please support us for our trip to the UK, or not to Lebanon. We're taking a team over there for 2 weeks later in the month. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to be doing a lot of reporting, and we need support for that. So it's going to be not cheap, but that's the kind of reporting we're going to bring you. So please support us if you can there. Also, Turkey is rising. They are a massive military force. You got to connect the dots and see what's going on. All right, so we're going to take another break. I'll come back, and later on in the show, we'll get through some stories. But I want to play this interview with Susan Kinnan from Promethean Action. We've become close to them and really trust what they're saying. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back with this really fantastic interview.
Wasn't a product that was developed and to sell, really. Mm-hmm. What it really was a journey to get me well, after my experience trying to immigrate and get married to an American citizen in order to go for to get my green card. Towards the end, they send you for a medical, and that's where they sat me down and gave me 16 vaccines in one sitting. At the time, I knew when I was going through it that it's probably not good, but I didn't realize that I'm about to go through the worst health experience of my life. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went on this journey and understand that nutrition is actually your medicine. I've always heard the old people say your food's in your garden, but we didn't get it. And your body is always trying to heal itself. I mean, you know, when you cut yourself in a couple of days, it heals. And that is the process of homeostasis. Your body is always trying to, every cell in your body is always healing itself. And just like anything, if you bake a cake or you build a house, you need the right ingredients to achieve the result. Now, if you don't have the correct nutrition and you're not eating the correct food, it's like trying to build a house without bricks. Now, a lot of people, they say, what does nuclear do? Nuclear itself does nothing. It's not designed to do anything. Your body does the work. It gives your body all the things it needs balanced in, and it works together to deliver the correct nutritional supplement that you need as a human being to function normally.
It's finally here, our second annual mega sale. This sale only comes around once a year, so take advantage of the best offers ever while you can. For example, save 50% on our Giza Dream bed sheets as low as $29.98. And for the first time ever on TV, MyPillow mattresses and MyPillow mattress toppers as low as $99.98. And you save 50% on our LuxePure six-piece towel sets. Regular $69.98, now only $39.98. And our best-selling standard MyPillows, regular $49.98, on sale for $17.98. Wait on it, mega sale only $14.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use this promo code to take advantage of our second annual mega sale. But wait, there's more. To make the mega sale even more special, when you order right now, your order's going to ship absolutely free.
All right, welcome back to the Skiff. We're going to get right into the interview with Susan Kokinda, which I wanted to play for you. It's not from me, but I found it just absolutely stunning, spot on, and fascinating as to who the actual boogeyman really is. Before we get there, this is a silver round. It was 20-something bucks when we first started a few years ago. It's, I don't know, $60, $70, $80 for silver for an ounce right now. If you got cash that you want to put into something that's going to hold its value, as we, you know, I think precious metals are down significantly with the peace deal in the Gulf. It's probably a good time to load up. So check out those. You can also put precious metals in your IRA and go to cdmmetals.com. That's cdmmetals.com. And you can get connected to Advisor Metals. Ira Bershatsky and his team are fantastic. We've had really good feedback from them. One woman I said recently went to visit her gold and her IRA custodian. So cdmmetals.com, you can fill out the form and Ira will, or someone on his team will contact you and set you up. And it's not a high sales pitch. I guarantee you. Just want to talk about investments, give him a call. He's a really good guy. Have heard really good feedback. He's a patriot. We've checked all his background. We checked his records, his banking relationships and everything. So we can highly recommend Advisor Metals. If you call him direct, make sure you tell them CDM sent you. And also, Nucleo Boost. You saw the commercial with Brindy Wells. If you need, we're big on health and sustainability and stamina here. And Nucleo Boost at cdmnutrition.com will get you that. It's everything you need in one pill, not a whole bunch of pills. to provide everything you need at the cellular level for your body to function as it's supposed to, you know, fine-tuned, if you will. If it has all the bricks it needs to build the house, it's amazing what will happen. You will feel great. Your stamina will go up. It's just really, really good stuff. Check out the monthly subscription at cdmnutrition.com. It's cheaper that way, but we can highly recommend Nucleo. And we've had great feedback for that across the network and all our readers as well. All right, so I'm going to play this video now. This is an interview I found with Susan Kokinda about who the real boogeyman is. I think you're really going to enjoy this and learn a lot.
Welcome back to the DeVore Darkins Show. And in today's episode, we have a phenomenal guest that we get to interview, which I'm very grateful for, because all of the noise that we're hearing on social media and in the podcast world regarding what this president is doing, what this administration has been up to, and even the history of our country regarding what's happening globally, it's always a breath of fresh air to bring on someone who can look past that and give us the historical context and their point of view about what's really happening. And that person happens to be today, Susan Kokinda, who is a political commentator, a leader of something called the Promethean Action, which is a group, and I'll let her explain all of that. I'm so grateful to have you here, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why don't we start with probably the most dramatic topic, I guess, the most heated one, which is in regards to the president and Iran and this whole dynamic of what's been playing out in the Middle East. And how when he first came in, there was a lot of attention with Ukraine, and now there's all this attention with Iran. Can you help the audience make sense of this? Because there's a lot of opinions, a lot of noise. Where should people focus their attention on first?
Look, I think people need to focus their attention on what the real war actually is. It's not about Iran. It's not about Ukraine. You have to go back to the 19th century, we can go back to the founding of our country, but we'll keep it a little shorter, you know, and look at what today people call globalism is really just a modern version of the British Empire. And how did the British Empire figure it out how to continue to rule the world, even though they weren't that physically powerful at a certain point? And that is to get a lot of countries fighting each other all the time. It was called British geopolitics. It had a more cynical word, which was the great game, which frankly gets a little bit closer to the truth because it basically says nations are simply pieces on a chessboard and we're going to use them as needed, which is why sometimes you see in various parts of the world, one day the big powers are on the side of one country and the next day they're on the side of another country, because it's not about the countries. It's about how do we keep people constantly at each other's throats so we can continue to run the world financial system. That's what it's about. And when you look at this situation with Iran, you can begin to see it, I think, even more clearly, because a lot of things have come into the open, which were not in the open before. Like at the outset of the conflict, where all of a sudden Lloyd's of London announces, hey, we're cutting insurance for ships going through the straits. They had never done that before. They would raise the rates and so on, but cutting it off was a way of this imperial financial elite saying, we don't like what Donald Trump is doing. Why? Because he's trying to take Iran off the chessboard as a chess piece, where the empire constantly has a choke point. They can constantly jack up the price of oil. They can throw economic chaos into the situation. And what is Donald Trump doing? He's saying, no, this is over. We want, and here's the important part, and this is what differentiates Trump from the regime changers and the neocons. He says, we don't want to send Iran back to the Stone Age. Now, they got a problem with the IRGC. Obviously, they know that. This is, you know, you have a very fractured, factional situation inside Iran. But what the president would like, and it will be up to the people on the other side to ultimately accept the deal, but he would like a nation which is no longer a running terrorist proxies around the world, a nation which is no longer trying to get nuclear weapons to threaten everybody, and a nation which no longer you have an economic choke point and disrupt the world economy. He wants Iran to be a normal nation like everybody else, which is why I think he's being so patient in terms of the negotiations. He thinks he can do it, and he's going to give the factions who are not nuts enough time to actually sort this thing through. Imagine a Mideast, which is not constantly on the verge of blowing up, where nations can begin to sort out their relations with each other, and most importantly, begin to economically develop and have peaceful, mutually beneficial relations with other nations. That is not the British great game. That is not geopolitics. That is not how the globalists have run things for the past 40 or 50 years.
I heard you mention British a few times here, so I think I would probably be best if I asked this question right up front, just to cut to the chase. What country is the biggest threat to America?
Well, I don't think it's a country. Okay. I think it's a system. I think it's an imperial system, which goes back to what we fought the American Revolution against, which has had its financial and strategic headquarters in London since the time of the American Revolution. It's not the British people. It's not the British nation. But it's a system. It's a system of central banking. It's a system of free trade. It's an ideological system. It's a system of, again, geopolitics. It's a system. And then you look at where that system has placed itself. Where has it plunked itself? You know, where's its command headquarters? Where's one of its operating bases? Iran has been one of its operating bases. And there's a history there in terms of the Muslim Brotherhood we can get to. But, it's not a country. You know, it's not China, it's not Russia, it's not Iran, it's a system. And then you look at where that system is operating out of. Are there government institutions that are operating on behalf of that system? Well, certainly in the case of the British, there are, the Bank of England, MI6, their entire foreign policy establishment. But the important thing is to look at, I always say it's verbs, it's not nouns. You know, look at the system, look at the process.
Yeah. It's really eye-opening the way that you put that, because it's a different paradigm of looking at things. So essentially, Iraq and Afghanistan, I served in Afghanistan for 1 year, and my biggest takeaway was fraud, waste, and abuse. But someone was making a lot of money off all of this stuff. And so what I hear you saying, if, just giving some rope here, is that globally, there is a system set up to profit from these wars or conflicts. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
It's not just simple profit. I mean, there's plenty of grift, you know, there's no doubt about that. But the real question is, can you maintain, from the standpoint of the globalists, and again, we just simply give it its brand name, the British Empire, can you continue to run the world financial system the way you want to run it? And that's largely been on the basis of a system of central banking, where you have powerful, largely private financial interests, because that's what central banks are, right? They're, you know, our Federal Reserve ain't federal. It's a central bank, it's a private bank, and it's one of the Johnny come latelys. What, we didn't have that till 1913. But you have a world of central banks, you have the International Monetary Fund, the Bank for International Settlements. What do these institutions serve? Do they serve the national interests of their nation, the nations they may happen to be in? No. They serve a financial elite. Look at the 2008 blowout here in the United States. The Federal Reserve jumped in and saved the so-called too big to fail banks. I just listened to an interview with Scott Bessent, and he said, yeah. And, you know, we said for the community banks and the smaller banks, you're too small to survive. So you had a central bank which saved the financiers and left everybody else to fall by the wayside. That didn't serve the interests of the United States. It's that system that they're trying to perpetuate. And again, sure, there's plenty of people who will try and make plenty of money and become billionaires and grifters and so on in that system, but it's not just about individual greed. It's about maintaining a system.
Which I think a great example of that would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, some of the reactions we've seen when the president decided to deal with Iran in the way that he has, how, you know, like a country like Canada, for example, or Italy, some of these countries were hesitant to get involved. Is that a fair example to make?
Yeah.
Is okay.
I mean, especially Britain. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can thank Tony Blair for, you know, weapons of mass destruction and our little excursion starting with Iraq, which ended up in Afghanistan where you were and so on. The British have not met a war they didn't like, mm-hmm. you know, in the last 30 or 40 years. And their policymakers have been, you know, egging every single one of them on because they've been part of this geopolitical game. Donald Trump comes along and says, no, I'm going to do something different. This is not a war to maintain British geopolitics. This is a war to take off the chessboard a very dangerous capability and move the world more toward a world of sovereign nations. And all of a sudden, the entire NATO establishment, you know, the EU, the UK, this entire, and Canada, of course, jump in and say, oh, no, we don't want to do that because it's not maintaining their system. That's what they don't want.
Let's actually go a little deeper here. What do you, in the beginning of this system being set up, why do you think they're so convinced that this is a better way to run the world instead of the alternative?
Well, when you start peeling it back, what it really gets down to is a question of the image of man. I mean, we've had imperialism on this planet, you know, as long as recorded history and, you know, probably before actual recorded history, because you do have a ideology, an unfortunate and I consider evil ideology, which says man is just an animal, but some of us are better bred, we have bluer blood, or we just happen to be richer, and we have the right to rule the rest of you animals. And they have built their power structures over the years to do this. Now, along came this upstart country, the United States of America, and said, no, we have a different image of man. We're all created equal. We're in the image of the creator. We have inalienable rights. And we actually want to have the freedom to economically develop our country, to progress, to move forward, to give everybody the opportunity to advance. You know, but to create a system where people have the opportunity to advance and where our power and our strength comes from increasing the productive powers of labor, which is a quote from Alexander Hamilton, through unleashing the creativity of the human mind. The imperial system doesn't like that because when you have human beings acting like human beings, you can't control them. That's where the essential conflict comes in. It is this fundamental issue of the image of man. And, you know, if you want to put it in its simplest terms, from my standpoint, it is good versus evil.
So if we think about the president's foreign policy, what do you think people misunderstand about it the most? Because I would like to say, I think it's fair to say that, you know, here stateside, you know, in your local neighborhood, the average Joe Schmo walking down the street probably doesn't care much to look into everything about why Iran is on the map for the president at this point. They just see high gas prices as an example. So could you help us understand what we need to be clear on as Americans here?
Well, I think the critical question in terms of the president's foreign policy, and he's been clear about this since his first term. He gave an amazing speech. I think it was at an Asian summit in Vietnam, which is somewhat ironic given our history with Vietnam, you know, where he said, I see every nation as a pearl on a beautiful necklace or as stars in a constellation. This idea that every nation should have the right to develop, that it shouldn't have externally imposed rules like free trade and the whole toolkit from globalization, which says, oh no, we're going to determine, you know, what you can grow based on the markets and you're going to be dependent on the world for everything else, which is essentially what we've been living through. I mean, we saw it in the United States in terms of losing our manufacturing. But what the president says, no, nations, we need a system where nations have the right and the opportunity to economically develop and then figure out what their relations are with each other. He's pursuing a foreign policy with that as his goal. Now, it's involved a couple of kinetic actions, like Venezuela, although that was pretty brief. And I think it is a classic example of Trump's policies. That is, we didn't go in guns blazing with George Bush, Tony Blair style regime change. We took out Maduro, who was basically the enforcer for the drug cartels, narco-terrorism, and we can get into the role of the international banks in terms of financing drug money laundering. But he pulled him out and then said to the country, okay, we got rid of this guy. Why don't you figure out how to run your country in a better way, which they're doing. And so now we have healthy relations with Venezuela. We have access to more gas and oil and so on. It was a very limited kinetic operation. I think the same principle applies in Iran. It's just much more complicated, much more intransigent situation in terms of the IRGC and much longer standing operations there. But his purpose is to create a world where economic progress is the metric for the world. So how is that going to help the United States? Well, obviously we have to get through this current conflict, and the president is not going to compromise on his objectives in terms of nuclear weapons, you know, opening up the strait and so on. But get to the point where you get through that, what is the average Joe on the street going to see? I think he's going to see gas prices now come down fairly quickly. And I think it's going to clear away the fog of war so that people can begin to appreciate everything else this administration is doing in terms of bringing manufacturing back into the United States and creating the circumstances for which Detroit, when I grew up, was the poster child, where one blue collar income could comfortably raise a family. We have not had that since NAFTA. In fact, we were losing it before NAFTA. But imagine a world, you know, in which one blue collar income comfortably and stably raises a family. That's what's in it for the average Joe on the street. But, you know, we got to cut away a little bit of the fog. We got to get through some bumps in the road. As Scott Bessent just said in the interview that I watched, there's a huge amount of manufacturing construction going on, but those facilities aren't finished. They're not hiring yet. But not too far down the road is a very, very different United States where people don't have to scramble at five jobs and still not make ends meet.
Thank you for explaining that. So it really just sounds like he's in the thick of it. And when you're trying to do something radical, you know, it's really easy for people to lose faith, right? Because it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. So for the younger people out there who see this and say, oh, this is Israel once again controlling the foreign policy of America, what is your reaction to that? Because that sentiment is out there and it's prevalent with Gen Z, and they are our future leaders, so to speak. So what should they look at to help them have a better point of view on this?
Well, it is obviously prevalent out there. And as somebody who's been on the political battlefield since the late 1960s and in the 1970s, my organization came under vicious attack from the Anti-Defamation League. You know, this ain't my first rodeo in terms of the role of the so-called Zionist lobby here in the United States. It exists, but it's not fundamental, because as we discovered in our battles in the 1970s and the 1980s, it's just another arm of this imperial operation. And what I would say to the young people is, don't look at the shadows on the wall. When suddenly the blogosphere and the social media world is screaming about nothing but Israel and AIPAC and so on, maybe you might want to look at where and why all of that is being generated. Because behind that, I think you're going to find something else, which again is the British Empire playing its different assets to maintain the system, which is screwing Gen Z. I mean, that's what I want people to start to look at. Look at what's generating the shadows, and look at who has actually rigged the system. The system has been rigged by a powerful financier elite, and no, they are not all Jewish. One thing I would say to Gen Z, there's a really excellent book. I know people don't read a lot of books, but this is short, well written. It's by Richard Poe, and it's entitled How the British Created Communism and Blamed It on the Jews. It is amazingly sourced, and again, well written. It's not dry. At least 15% of the book is footnotes, but it will give you an insight into a methodology which has been used for a long time. The empire does terrible things, and then says, oh, look over there. That's your problem. Because as much as you've got a layer of the population which is saying it's Israel and the Jews, I'm sure you've noticed, there's another layer of the population that says it's the Muslims, right? The Muslims are going to take over. Sharia law is going to be everywhere. And that's the enemy image. And again, look behind it. You want to look where radical Islam came from. The Muslim Brotherhood was a direct outgrowth of British intelligence in the 1920s. A couple of good books on that as well. It's there if you look for it. So look at who is throwing you in a particular direction to keep your emotions all at fever pitch and angry and not noticing what the real fight is, because the real fight is the fight of empire versus sovereign nations. And again, I've been in it for a long time. My first political campaign was Robert Kennedy Sr. in 1968. Wow. I mean, I was in California when he was shot. I was young, but I was there. You know, so again, this isn't my first rodeo. And as I've gone through this fight over the decades, you know, and peeled back the layers, when by the time Donald Trump came along and started doing the things he was doing, I said, wow, you actually have somebody who is fighting the war, not these individual battles.
Wow, that is really interesting. So, I mean, I have to admit, like I said in the beginning, it's a paradigm shift. I mean, no one that I've ever heard of has spoken about the British Empire in the way that you're speaking about it now and communicating the idea that they've been behind this imperialism on this planet and behind some of these movements. So help us catch up with you here. What's the single easiest piece of evidence to communicate to people who are watching that there's some credibility to that idea?
Well, I think the single piece of evidence is the negative piece of evidence. Our founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, then through Abraham Lincoln and William McKinley, they created a system which was known in the 19th century as the American system of political economy. That's what it was known as. It was known as that worldwide. You had people in Japan studying it. You had people in Russia and China and Germany studying the American system of political economy, which they understood was the counter to the British imperial system. And the American system of political economy said, we're going to measure our economy, the health of our economy, on the basis of real physical economic growth and uplifting the standard of living of the population, making them more productive, more efficient, and so on. The British system is based on a tiny elite sucking the blood out of whatever country they want to, whether it's raw materials extraction or controlling the oil flows or the price of oil, or if we want to go back to the 17th century, the slave trade, you know, and then the cotton economy here in the United States. But all of these are aspects of a system which just looks at human beings as beasts of burden. You squeeze out of them as much as you can. You look at nations as beasts of burden. You squeeze out of it as much as it can. And it all feeds the financial elite. That was well known in the 19th century. That was the issue. So my answer to that is again, the negative proof. What happened to the knowledge of the American system? Well, I'll tell you what happened. The British assassinated our presidents, Abraham Lincoln, William McKinley. You had Garfield in between. He wasn't quite as significant as Lincoln or McKinley. John Kennedy wasn't a Republican, but he essentially pursued those same kind of nation-building, truly nation-building policies. And then along came Donald Trump, all targets. Why? Because they don't want you to know that there is an actual American alternative to what you call today globalization, imperialism, finance capitalism, whatever word you want to use. That's your negative proof. And when you look at history, what you see is around the time of the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, which is when McKinley was assassinated in 1901, you have a major operation by British institutions like Chatham House and the British Round Table. And they basically say, okay, our policy has to be, we have to get the United States to be our dumb giant. We have to get the United States to forget their own tradition, their own American system, and they have to be our tool in the world. And what you have right now is really kind of amusing, because since Donald Trump is not playing that game any longer and acting with the United States as a sovereign nation, suddenly all of these institutions that are tied to this British imperial outlook, like Chatham House or the Council on Foreign Relations here in the United States, which is a direct spin-off of this imperial outlook back in 1922, or people like Mark Carney up in Canada, they're all saying the same thing. Oh, Trump broke the rules-based order. That's how we ran the world. We ran the world based on people accepting our rules and the United States enforcing it. And that's not working any longer. What do we do now? So they're kind of running around trying to figure out how to do it. So I would say there's two places people can look. One, right now, these British institutions are admitting it. And that's pretty much what I cover in my updates on Promethean Action. And number two, what happened to the American system, which is our unique contribution to the world in terms of how do you run an economy, which is actually for the benefit of human beings and not a bunch of financial parasites.
Yeah. Something I want to go back to, because you mentioned the central banks, and they're behind, they are the essentially the financial thing that's running all of this, right? Did you hear about this story of how, and I'll read it to you here for verbatim, it says that gold has surpassed U.S. Treasuries as top central bank reserve asset. Is that particular headline, is there anything there that people should be aware of? Because this is obviously new. I mean, gold is up to 27% now, which is an increase. It's never been this high. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think you get the high price of gold. Gold is going to go up, our other precious metals, whenever you're in a period of some kind of dislocation. The fundamental question in terms of national banks, the way to understand it is you have to go back to what we had before we had the Federal Reserve. Mm. We had a national bank. It was not run by private bankers. It was established by an act of Congress. It was staffed, according to that act. What was its mission? Its mission wasn't to stabilize London, or there was no Wall Street back then, that came a little bit later, but to stabilize the financiers. Its mission was to ensure that there was credit available for the people who wanted to build this country. And it worked. Lincoln brought it back in another form. But the question of what form of banking is going to dominate is really fundamental, because a national bank is slaved to the sovereignty of the nation. That's its mission. Its purpose is to act on behalf of the nation. A central bank is an instrument for this global financier elite to keep ruling things. And the essence for a healthy economy in terms of what do you tie your currency to? Because obviously you don't want to have a situation where you just start printing paper willy-nilly like we did, under Biden and after 2008 and so on. What do you want to tether the issuance of your currency to? Well, prior to 1971, we had a gold reserve system. It wasn't one-to-one for gold, but you had to have a relationship between your gold and your balance of trade payments and so on, but it was a way of tethering. It ultimately, though, is not the thing. It's not the gold or the silver or a barrel of oil. Is your economy organized in such a way that it will continue to grow by producing new and better things that will in turn create a healthier, more productive, more creative population? That's what you actually ultimately want to create as your metric. That's a challenge. But whenever you at least have that as an idea, which we did under Lincoln, we did under McKinley. And honestly, if people listen to either of two things Scott Bessent recently did, a speech he gave last Friday at the Reagan Economic Forum in California, and an interview he just did with Orrin Cass on American Compass, he doesn't use the word American system, but you hear this concept in terms of what he's saying. We should be producing things. The basis of our economy should be production and not consumption. We should be inventing and manufacturing things here. We need to have a system which is not rigged against the average Joe. I mean, these are the things your Treasury Secretary is saying. And that's really where it comes down to, because people can get all caught up in, you know, the specifics of currencies and precious metals and bond markets and this, and a lot of that is above my head. But there's a principle. And the principle is, do you want to measure the health of your economy by how much money you've got? Or do you want to measure the health of your economy by whether you are producing, progressing, improving? And I would always say, creating a population which has the ability to create and innovate and move into the future. That's the health of your nation. And it's been a while since we've had that.
Yeah, it's interesting, because at the individual level as a human, I mean, I think we're at our happiest moments when we are creating something instead of just sitting by and consuming, which I would say that's probably the problem with Americans today on social media.
That's right.
So let's talk about the cartels, because that topic there really interests me, because I can't for the life of me, I don't understand why administration after administration, besides Trump at this point, why they have been so hesitant, or they have not done anything to address them. And so could you explain to us why hasn't it taken until President Trump to finally make a move against the cartels in the way that he has?
Well, to get the right image in your head, think British Opium Wars. I mean, think of how the British Empire not only used opium to subjugate the Chinese people, but it was also an integral part of their financial system. You know, you had an economic relationship between the opium trade, the cotton trade in India, you know, and how they ran the entire financial system. In terms of the 20th and the 21st century, look, you wouldn't have cartels on the scale that you have them if they were moving their money around the world in shoeboxes. They're not. They're going through the world's biggest financial institutions and some of the biggest criminals in this, many of whom have been caught, but generally get a slap on the wrist, are Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, Royal Bank of Scotland, the big Canadian banks, the New York banks, the offshore banks down in the Cayman Islands. So the dirty money that comes from drug trafficking has been an integral part of this speculative financial system. And in fact, there was a speech at the UN, I think back in the 1990s, I think it was by the guy who at that time was the Russian drug czar. And he made very clear that, I guess it might have been later than that, because I think he was talking about the 2008 financial collapse. And he said the system would have collapsed if it weren't for the dirty money, that it was dirty money flooding back into the banks, into the so-called legitimate banking system, which kept some of these big banks afloat during that financial blowout. So that's the answer. The answer is that drug trafficking and dirty money laundering is part of the business model of the British Empire, which is why nobody ever went after it seriously. And now you have an administration that is, not only in terms of interdiction, you know, we've seen the reports in terms of how much they've cut the importation of fentanyl into the United States, but they're going after the money. And that's how you really dry it up.
Yeah. So what would be a successful administration for the president in regards to the context of cartels? Like, once he leaves the White House, how do you say he was successful on this issue? Like, what is the exact metric?
Well, I think it's what he's doing right now. You see it in Venezuela. You see it in a slightly more tense way with Mexico, because it's a difficult situation for the Mexican leadership, given how powerful the cartels have been. But the fact that you've had a governor and a mayor arrested just in the past couple of weeks in Mexico, in cooperation with the United States, you know, as operating with the cartels, success would be strengthening, first of all, cutting off the financial flows to these operations. And if you look at the way the Treasury is operating, Bessent once said 50% of his time is spent on national security. Yeah, guess what he's talking about there? He's talking about this kind of stuff. And it's not just, you know, the money flows for the IRGC. So you close down these channels, but at the same time, you build up the ability of nations to actually defend themselves. I mean, that's the big challenge in Mexico. How many elected officials have been assassinated by the cartels so that they could maintain their control over the country? So you assist nations in basically liberating themselves from the cartels. And there have been a number of other major developments, you know, extraditions, which we'd never seen before. I think one of the top Trendy-Aragua people was extradited on RICO charges, cooperation with Guatemala, cooperation with Ecuador, where you're basically saying to the sovereign nations, hey, we're on your side again. We're no longer on the side of the, you know, of what we call dope incorporated, because, you know, it's not just the criminals, it's the bankers. That's what dope incorporated is comprised of. And the United States is on your side now. So you begin to strengthen nations once again to be able to fight against this. And, you know, you change enough of the direction of the United States, I hope permanently. And I think you've got a new world.
So I guess in saying that, it would probably be a good point to, I guess, think about. Why are Democrats so against the president on a lot of these issues then? Besides the partisan stuff that just comes with the territory, right, of being a president, of course they're going to disagree with him on things. But why disagree with him in regards to the cartels? Why disagree with him in regards to even some of the things with Iran? I mean, some of the things that I find that he's doing is exactly what they've been saying that they were going to do, but they never did it. So could you explain to us what's going on there?
Well, from the standpoint of these national Democrats in the Senate and the House, you know, I don't know what more to say except the fact that they're just nuts. I mean, the Democratic Party is no longer an institution which represents what any average American wants. The Democratic Party is essentially captured by this establishment. You know, there's folks in the Republican Party who aren't much better. So we could talk about the Uniparty. But obviously, you know, this insanity is metastasized inside the Democratic Party. This is not the Democratic Party of 20 years ago. It's certainly not the Democratic Party of 60 years ago. In fact, back in 2020, when Trump was running for his second run, I made a big banner, which we held up on an overpass outside one of the big auto plants here in Detroit, that said, Donald Trump, the best Democrat since JFK. Because the old Democratic Party would have agreed with him. Why do you think Bobby Kennedy Jr. is in this administration, right? So I think the current Democratic Party, as it's constituted at the top, and, you know, it extends down with various degrees of control into the state and local areas, is just an institution which functions as the propaganda arm for this globalist elite and has no relationship whatsoever.
Every day, your data is being tracked, collected, and sold, often without you even realizing it. Big tech companies control your devices, your apps, and the information you share. From your messages to your browsing habits, everything is being monitored and stored. Over time, we've traded privacy for convenience, and most people don't even question it. But what if you could take that control back? That's where Mark 37 comes in. Mark 37 provides privacy-focused phones, laptops, and tablets designed to give you full control over your digital life. With secure systems, expert support, and simple tools, they make it easier to step away from constant tracking and data collection. Because privacy isn't just a feature, it's a fundamental choice. It's about protecting your data, your freedom, and your future. Take back control of your digital life with Mark 37.
And by the way, I wanted to say I'm starting my journey with Sean. I'm going to be getting a Ghost phone and then upgrading to a Ghost computer soon, because I am going to unplug from the Matrix. And you can follow me along on my journey. So mark37.com/CDM is where you want to go to do that. Find the webinar, sign up for the webinar, and learn everything you need to know to get started. And then you can also sign up for a free 30-minute consultation on privacy there at mark37.com/CDM. But I'm looking forward to it. And I have been worried about privacy for some time. So I'm going to be taking the plunge and changing my life and unplugging from the Matrix. And I'm really looking forward to it. So maybe you can join me.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
Do you already have your investments with Fidelity? I'm David Cross with U.S. Asset Management. Did you know that you can assign your investment management to my team and put my 35 years of experience to work for you? You simply assign us as your investment manager, and you keep the same username and password. Professional management, and you get to work with someone who shares your values. Call U.S. Asset Management today and put us to work for you.
Welcome back to the Skiff. Okay, so I want to just point something out there, a few things. One, we're going to have Susan Kukinda on soon, so I just think she's so spot on this. I don't know how everything exactly is operating behind the scenes, but we're trying to figure out our best, analysis of the whole situation. Some things I want to point out. She said something, the UK is who assassinates our presidents. I found this just fascinating. I mean, and I knew this, and I'd heard her say this before, but the whole Trump thing and the king coming over and mocking Trump in the White House after the attempted assassination, King Charles, that is, I just find really, really, really interesting. And the UK is behind the Ukraine war, but also behind what's going on in Iran. I mean, they did not help us in Iran. They have, you know, it's famous, the BP, British Petroleum, is the one that, along with the CIA in the 50s, wanted to nationalize all the oil. And then when we didn't do it, then, you know, they installed the Shah. And so you could make a case that the UK is involved in Iran for some time. And she mentions that Trump is taking Iran off the table as a player for the whole globalist financial system, which I find just fascinating. And, I think what's going on here is you have, Israel is a product of the UK, right? I mean, that's where the Balfour Declaration came from and all of that. And I think you have more a globalist infrastructure in the UK and maybe more of a nationalist infrastructure in the in Israel. And I think there is some tension there possibly. And I think that, you know, there's just the UK maybe throwing Israel under the bus by saying, look over here, because guess what? Who's attached to the UK? Let's think about that. About Tucker Carlson, he says all the time, I have family over there. About Candace Owens, she's been married to Mr. Farmer, who obviously has connections to British intelligence. So, you know, look around and see what's happening and connect the dots. I just find it really, really interesting. And also, Tucker's the one that came after the MEK, which is the Iranian resistance on the ground, because the one thing the regime in Iran is afraid of is the MEK. So why would Tucker do that? Why would he just randomly throw that out against the MEK with, I forget the guy's name, the former CIA officer? They obviously intentionally went into this. So, again, fascinating points that you can connect the dots. And now you have Tucker wanting a third party, which, you know, I asked Roger Stone, what do you think about Tucker's third party? He said, great way to elect Democrats, which means communists, which means getting rid of the Trump agenda. So I'm not for foreign interference in our government. I think it's a problem. But let's make sure we come out of this war and this whole Trump presidency, which with something is good for America, and not elect a bunch of commies, which you're seeing happen across the country. I bet you could make a case that this is also, and again, another point, the Five Eyes. What countries have been decimated? Five countries of the British Commonwealth: Canada, New Zealand, Australia. Who am I missing? The United States. I'm missing one more. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, United States. I'm missing one more. But all of these countries have been decimated, all part of the UK. So it's really, really fascinating. By the way, if you want to understand information about the MEK, the Iranian resistance, you can read my book. I literally wrote the book, Paying the Price, The Untold Story of the Iranian Resistance. You can find it anywhere. If you're interested in that part of the world, you will learn something from this book, I guarantee you. Also, Strategic Communication Laboratories, otherwise known as SCL, which is a British intelligence operation out of the UK, was behind, guess what, Cambridge Analytica, influencing elections globally, the Ukrainian effort against Trump, against Bernie Sanders and all the others in the US by the Clinton campaign. So anyway, we're going to continue on this journey. We're not home yet. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we are very much connecting dots. So, and you also had, you know, they're obviously against Christianity. And, you know, I think, what did King Charles just say recently or intimate, that the UK is no longer a Christian country? It's a Muslim country. So Christianity is the target, and that is the ultimate target. And all you have to do is go look at King Charles' portrait he did recently, where he's, I mean, well, let's find that. Here, I'll find it for you. Hold on. 1 second. Okay, let's bring this up. There you go. Look at this. That's King Charles's portrait. Do you remember the old Saturday Night Live Find the Pope in the Pizza contest? How about Find the Satanist in the Portrait contest? I'm telling you, folks, we're connecting the dots. It's all making more and more sense. We're not home yet. We don't know everything, but we're connecting dots, and that's what we're going to continue to do. All right, so let's look at some stories here. This one, tanker set ablaze in the Persian Gulf, Strait of Hormuz, attacked by projectiles. Iranian intimated, but not claiming responsibility. That could possibly be just due to the NATO summit and kind of a tantrum by someone in Iran, whether it's IRCG or others. Great article on CDM you can look at and understand more about that. Zelensky rolls into Ankara, invited for some reason to the NATO summit. This guy gets on my nerves, guys. We want your missiles. We want your money. We want everything. I'm going to put out a piece later today that this is the Fourth Reich Army, the mercenary robotic army they're building in Ukraine after they killed all the Christians. So it's coming. Flock cameras. They need to surveil you and suppress you. And this is being built under Trump's nose, which we're going to be after Flock pretty heavily going forward. And we're going to continue to talk about it. Miami-Dade's got a problem along with Atlanta and many other cities around the world. You can find this on our paper, the Miami Independent. U.S. House plans to try to again on the SAVE Act. That's at our Connecticut paper, Connecticut Sentinel. Check that out. And then last but not least, Democratic Socialists say communism is the goal. And what is the goal of Satanism? It's communism. So that's it, folks. That's all I got today. We'll be back. We got some heavy hitters tomorrow. I got Pete Blaber and Tom Teague coming on, and we're going to lay out all of this and continue down this path of disclosure and reveal and making you the smartest person in the room. Really enjoyed the show today. So we've got some heavy hitter interviews tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Please support our sponsors. Oh, by the way, a couple more I wanted to mention. MyPillow.com. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code CDM. Get the best discounts. It's that time of the year. School's coming up. You got a college kid who's going to be going back to refit that apartment. They need bedding. They need sheets. They need slippers. You've got a dog who needs a new dog bed. Don't go to Walmart or one of the big box retailers that hate you. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code CDM. Check out his products. He's got a lot of stuff, guys. And we make, you know, a little bit every time you buy something from him instead of from the other guys, the bad guys, as Bill Quinn says. So check that out. Also, here's my favorite novel that I've written. It's called Delta. And Delta means change for all of you engineers out there. This is what's going on. I wrote this a while back, but it's still extremely prescient and extremely entertaining. Some people love it. Most people love it. Some people hate it. But it's very revealing. And I was told to write that. I'm telling you, I was told to do it by the big guy. All right, guys, thank you for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday on the Skiff, and tomorrow night on the Georgia Show at 7 p.m. with Bill Quinn. You don't want to miss it. Take care.